This morning we're going to continue looking at getting more out or serving the Lord with gladness. That's the series. This morning we're going to talk about getting more out of singing. And it's an important part of our assemblies, the act of singing praises to God. You know, we spend nearly a third of our assemblies engaged in this particular activity, singing. And rightly so, because it has the potential of reaping great spiritual benefits. Singing is an important element in serving the Lord with gladness. It's mentioned in the text upon which this series is based. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. You know, there were those in the Old Testament times who delighted in singing. The psalmist said in Psalm 63, and this is from the Amplified Bible, says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul, my life, my very self is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth offers praises to you with joyful lips." As Christians, we're taught to respond to goodness, to the goodness of God in a similar way. James tells us in chapter 5 and verse 13, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." But I often wonder, in the years of my serving the Lord as song leader, as preacher, as whatever, standing before a congregation, not just this one, but others, if singing has lost some of that greatness. It is an important element, as we've noticed. I wonder, though, if we've lost some of the emotion. Because when I look and watch people follow along with a song leader, it's just like they're going through the motions. And sometimes people don't sing at all. I remember years ago serving as a deacon leading the songs, and there would be a sister sitting in the congregation right about where Danny's sitting at another church. And she'd sit here with a song book and her head kind of cocked to the side and just never open her mouth. I don't get Christians not singing. I've known personally Christians who complained about the time available for classes that were being taken up by the singing of a few hymns. You know, I could take that and run with it myself. You talk about the sermons being too long. Well, maybe the song leader led too many verses, Ethan. I'm kidding. I don't care how many verses you lead. You can lead them all for all I care. We all ought to be glad that we are here. We all ought to rejoice that we are here, that God has provided us with this opportunity. In Benny's prayer, he thanked God for the privilege and the opportunity for Christians to be here today. And some won't attend the services if they know that it's going to be devoted primarily to the singing. In contrast, it's kind of common in the past for people to travel great distances to attend a service devoted only to praising God in song. There used to be a family over in the Manchester area that when I was growing up going to El Bethel, if we ever had a singing, we would wait and watch the door in anticipation to see if the Duke family was coming. Y'all remember the Dukes? And when they would come in, you kind of knew the singing was going to be good. I mean, it's always going to be good, but sometimes you expected it to be a little bit better because the Dukes were there. I look forward to lifting my voice in praise. I look forward to singing to God. But why do such conditions exist when people complain all the time about too many verses in the song or not enough verses in the song, or services devoted completely to singing and whatnot? I wonder if it's because we have a failure to appreciate the true purpose in singing. And then I want to ask the question, how can we get more out of our singing? You see, the more we get out of the singing, then we might just truly serve the Lord with gladness. So let's look at the purpose of singing, first of all. Why do we sing? Why do we have a man get up here and lead us in songs at every service? Well, it's to praise God, simply put. It's to praise our Heavenly Father. And this is the most common concept of the purpose of singing. And really, this is certainly the idea that's inherent with the word hymn, H-Y-M-N. And that comes from the Greek word hymnos, meaning a song in praise of. So if we're singing hymns of praise to God, then it's a song in praise of God. And praising God should be something that comes natural for a child of God, for a Christian. David reacted this very way to the blessings that God gave him. We notice in Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him." Have you ever just broke out to singing hymns before? Maybe you're working in the flower bed at home, or whatever the case may be, washing the dishes, cooking dinner, and you just, for some reason, you just break out into a song. And it's always, we call it a church song. Why is that? Well, it's something that comes natural to us, but you know, you're not the first to do it. There were others that sang, and you might think, you know, unconventional times. Paul and Silas even reacted to persecution by singing praises to God. We notice in Acts 16, verse 25, they were in prison. And it says that by midnight, Paul and Silas were praising and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You might think, well, they were in prison. What did they have to sing about? Well, they've been persecuted for God's sake, for preaching his message, doing exactly what God wanted them to do. Remember, Jesus said, "You're blessed if you're persecuted," in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Singing is one of those spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God. Some might say, "Well, I can't sing." It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're like they say, you can't carry a tune in a bucket. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. You know, when I first started leading the singing, I knew I wasn't real good. Not good at all. I'm still not real good. But I used to tell them when I was young, a long time before I got married, about 12, 13 years old, maybe 15, I said, "I'm going to lead. And if you don't like to hear me, you're going to have to drown me out. As the audience, you're going to have to drown the song leader out after I get it started, because I'm going to sing loud." Why don't we sing loud anymore? Why don't we sing out? We're still singing praises to our Heavenly Father, aren't we? Is that something that we're ashamed of? Singing is a spiritual sacrifice that we offer to God. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 13, verse 15, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name." Yeah, it's a sacrifice, but isn't it a great sacrifice to when we can sing and harmonize and blend our voices in praising God, the creator of everything around us, the creator of the universe, as spiritual priests? And that's what we are. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, the English Standard Version, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You're a child of God. That's what God expects. You are a spiritual priesthood. And we need to be serving God with gladness. And one of those things that we do is raise our voices in praise. You know, if we're not careful, we might be guilty of offering defiled service to God because we don't like singing. Now, let me just say, if you don't like singing now, if you make it to heaven, you're not going to be happy for eternity. Because that's what you're going to be doing around the throne of God, is singing praises for all of eternity. Sometimes I kind of liken the church to a preview of what heaven's going to be like. Lifting up our voices in praise, singing with gladness, getting more out of the singing is a preview to what heaven's going to be like. In Malachi chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, God through Malachi says, "You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have I defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" And then if you drop down to verses 12 and 13, he says, "But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, saying, the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord?" God does not want our second best. He wants our very best. And he rightly says, I think, in verse 13, "You say, oh, what a weariness. Oh, what a chore to serve God. Oh, what a chore to lift up our voices in praise. We've got to sing. It's time to sing. I wish he wouldn't lead all five verses. I wish he wouldn't lead that song. I don't like this." You know, our granddaughter, Briley, when she gets in the car with us, she says, "Papa, turn the church singing on." And we've picked up a CD from one of the church singings that we've gone to, the congregational singings. And I'll put it in, and it starts playing. And she goes, "I don't like that song. Go to the next one." I said, "No, because they're all good. We're all lifting our voices in praise, so that makes them good. We're all singing out to praise God, so they're all good. But we say, oh, what a weariness." And we give him our second best. Let me ask you a question. Is God not worthy of our very best, even when we sing? And you might say, "Well, I don't like to sing." So what? God wants you to. Another purpose to singing is not just to praise God, but it's to reach and admonish one another. Our singing is not always just directed toward God. Certainly, most songs are, but many songs are directly directed toward you and I, toward each other. And when you read passages like Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19, you understand that Paul tells us there that we're teaching and admonishing one another when we sing. You know, that's because many songs are designed for that very purpose, to teach one another. Teaching and admonishing one another properly to live, to enjoy the blessings of being a Christian. It might even be said that congregational singing is actually congregational teaching. Never thought of it that way. But teaching one another when we lift up our voices in praise. Just like the song that Ethan led a moment ago, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." I love that song. More about Jesus. Let Jesus dwell within your soul. Do not our brethren deserve the very best encouragement that we can offer them? again, somebody said, well, I don't sing good. I don't care. I don't care. Sing out. That's what God expects. And that's what our brethren deserve. But also, we sing to be filled and enriched. Singing can be a means of being filled with God's Spirit. Paul charged the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, do you realize that is the passage right before Ephesians 5, 19? Which says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice he says in verse 18, the very last thing, that be filled with the Spirit. Then he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He explained how singing here and making melody in our heart to the Lord fills us with the Spirit. And singing can be a means of being enriched by God's Word. I'm not saying these songs are inspired, but how many songs do you know that are based upon Scripture? That use Scripture. We sing a song called, or titled, The Law of the Lord, and it's based out of the Psalms. There are plenty of songs that are taking Scripture and putting musical notes to them. We are glorified, we are edified, and God is glorified. Paul charged the Colossians in Colossians 3 and verse 16 to let the Word of Christ dwell in them richly. That's what he says here in this passage. In the first part of the verse, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart, or grace in your heart. Singing should be a wonderful part of our worship. It's an opportunity for us to teach one another, to dwell with one another, to enrich our worship service by lifting our voice in praise. And truly, a Spirit-filled life enriched by the Word of God, Word of Christ, that's essential. And when done properly, singing is a wonderful blessing. How can we get the most out of our singing? Well, when we do that, we have to engage the mind. When you sing, engage your mind. Remember, singing is teaching and admonishing. And this assumes that you understand what you're singing. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. You ever come across a song that you didn't know what? Well, it's got one of them words in there. I don't know what it means. Here I raise my Ebenezer, the balm of Gilead. Yeah, do you know what those things mean? Maybe you didn't do a little research. Read the scripture that's under the title and go back and read the context of it. And we've got to be careful that we don't enjoy singing today like the popular music of today. I used to get all over my kids because they like music. And I'll tell you, you know, even some of the songs from the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, I didn't get the words to them. I like the sound, I like the tune, I like the beat of it and everything like that. But we need to know what words are in there so that we don't like something that's sinful. But we need to know what the words are to these songs so that we're uplifting ourselves and edifying our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know what we're saying when we praise God. Don't just go through the motions. In other words, we got to give special, a careful attention to what the words are saying in these songs. Don't just sing it to be singing it. We need to also engage our heart. When we sing, we have to sing with grace in our hearts. Remember, that's what Paul said to the Colossian brethren. And he says, making melody in your heart, the Ephesian brethren. And this assumes that we involve our heartstrings, our emotions, when we sing. To sing without emotion is to sing without grace in your heart. And that's what he told us in Colossians 3 and verse 16. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, isn't this the hypocrite that Jesus is condemning there? Proverbs 15 and verse 13, it teaches us that this is going to be evident in our countenance. I think we need to put our heart into our singing. And then we need to expand the sphere of our singing. And what I mean by that, let me just ask you this. Do you sing only in the public assembly on the first day of the week? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You know, singing is like prayer. It ought to be spontaneous, like I mentioned a moment ago. Arises whenever the circumstances call for it, just like in Acts 16 and verse 25 when Paul and Barnabas were in prison. Sing while you work, travel, or while alone in your private meditations. Last Saturday night, Danny and I and a few others went to Knoxville. You know, when you're traveling like that, there ain't a whole lot on the radio. So Danny plugged his phone into this new truck, and it's got a smart system, and we listened to church songs. You know what we wound up doing? Singing along. Traveling down the interstate after midnight, praising God. Spontaneous. I like it. You know, we need to make the use out of hymns on tapes, CDs when traveling, or just when you're meditating. Take advantage of special opportunities to sing, like monthly or annual singings. We need to increase our opportunities to sing, to lift up our voices in praise to God. But we also need to, well, I already said that, enhance our singing by where you sit. Here we go again. You know, I have been to R.J. Stevens and Tim Stevens singing classes, school, whatever you want to call them. Been to a bunch of them. And one thing they always tell you is that when you're scattered out, the singing is nowhere near as good. But Jeff, this is where I always sit. I get that. But if you draw closer together, you can hear each other better. Your voices blend better. And the reason for that is singing alone, sitting alone, or spread out discourages others, because you don't hear the singing that way. People become more involved, more uplifted, and more edified by singing out and hearing others sing when they sit closer together and closer to the song leader, for example. And one of the first steps to singing better is to sit with others who love to sing. And then we need to use opportunities to learn to sing. You know, I had an older brother several years ago told me, I ain't going to learn new songs. I'm not going to learn the notes. I'm not going to learn anything. Because I'm so old, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. If that's the case, why do we buy new vehicles? Why do we have to have the newest technical gadgets? We're willing to learn other things, but we're not willing to learn new things to better praise God. Why is that? Singing is more enjoyable when you sing and read musical notes and learn the different parts. It just sounds so much better. You know, there are four parts to a song. You've got the soprano, which is what the song leader leads with. Then you've got the alto, the tenor, and the bass. And the joke is, somebody said, well, what part do you sing? I sing solo. Solo, you can't hear me? Or I sing tenor, 10 or 12 miles away. Those are cute remarks, but a lot of times that remark reflects that they don't know what they're singing. And the men that sing with the song leader, you know, there's nothing wrong with that if you can hit those high notes. But you may be better tuned to learning how to sing bass, which carries the beat of the song. Churches can provide classes. There was one this past July that Ethan attended. Every opportunity to sing should be an opportunity to learn. You might think, well, I can't learn the notes. You can watch that top bar. You can see when it goes up, when it goes down, when it goes up, when it goes down. And you know that's how to sing. But take advantage of opportunities to sing with other brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's a learning opportunity. Not just learning to sing, but learning in the edification from one another. To get more out of the singing, we need to take advantage of every opportunity that we have. And I'm going to say this, singing is like any other activity. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. Increase your joy of singing and you'll get so much more out of just assembling with the saints. Now what about you? Have you lost your joy of singing? Nah, I get it. Our voices change as we go. When we're little, the young boys go through puberty and they sing real high, and then as they get older they sing lower. And sometimes our voices get weaker the older we get. I understand that. But that shouldn't take away from our joy of praising God. If we could see ourselves as song leaders do, you know, Rick says, looking out on these smiling faces, Ethan gets up here and he leads the singing, and I know he's looking at this, but he also has to look at you occasionally. I look at you. Have we lost our joy? If so, I think we need to rekindle this act of worship that can do so much in our lives towards serving the Lord with gladness. We need to have David's attitude. Let him truly describe our own attitude when it comes to singing. When he says in Psalm 104 and verse 33, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Get it? We get older, our voices get weaker, but I guarantee you say, I can't sing in the assembly, but when you go home, you'll belt it out as strong as you can when you're by yourself. David also said in Psalm 147, verse 1, how good is it to sing praises to our God? How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Now again, this is one of those lessons that's not really designed to convert people, but to encourage. Encourage us to serve God better. What part of our worship service is as edifying as lifting up our voices in praise to God? It's an emotional high when we lift up our voices in praise. And as Benny said in his prayer, it's a privilege and an opportunity to sing to God. To lift up our voices, to blend our voices in harmony in praising God. That alone ought to be enough to look forward to gathering with the saints. But it may be that you've got something in your life that prevents you from serving the Lord. Now, whether that be you've never put Him on in baptism, this is an opportunity for you to do just that. But you may have done that and something has darkened your path to where you can't serve the Lord, or you're not serving the Lord as you ought to. This is an opportunity for you as well to come and confess your faults before your brethren and before God and allow us to pray with you and for you. It may be that you're just having stumbling blocks or temptations put in front of you and you just need the prayers of the saints. And we can do that too. So whatever need you may have this morning, we encourage you to think about it, and if you need to respond, please make your way to the front while we stand and while we sing.